good friend of mine, a longtime journalist, Chicago newsman, and I were talking the other day, and he mentioned the column I had written about Chicago, the city of anarchy. And he said, you know, for all my life, I've always felt that there was a certain sense of order in Chicago. A sense of, yeah, things could be bad, but things could get better. And that violence rises and falls, and sooner or later, City Hall gets it right and stops the criminals for a while. And people come back downtown, and it's nice again. But now, he said, I feel the city is unmoored. And it just hit me, because I think it's true. A city unmoored is a city floating without much direction. You have Mayor Lightfoot. She should be hiding in the cornfields at that Field of Dream game, but she's not going to take my advice. You have Tony Preckwinkle and Kim Fox playing social justice warrior games with the criminal justice system. We've got Governor Pritzker talking about how great he is because he's got billions of dollars to buy the election and more billions from the federal government to bail him out for a little bit on the pension issue in the state. And the people all see this, and not all of us are Trumbalones. And there's a certain sense of unease, a real sense. We'll be talking about this with Marianne Ahern, political reporter at NBC5 for many years. And we'll talk about Lori Lightfoot and being unmoored. And Jeff Carlin is always here. Jeff Carlin is my friend and the executive producer at WGN Radio. And he's the master of sound. So if we sound in anywhere decent, it's because Jeff has made it so. And I'm John Cass of johncassnews.com, former Tribune reporter and columnist who notes that the Tribune has just changed editors again. The new one is recommended by Kristen McQuarrie, so I hope they do well. But I have no regrets. I'm glad where I am. I'm doing my thing, and if people want to read it, I hope you do, and I hope you subscribe. And where are you now? On the free podcast, The Chicago Way? You're on The Chicago Way. With Lori Lightfoot in the field of corn, with the city unmoored, and with Marianne Ahern coming up.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Our guest, Marianne Ahern of NBC5 Chicago, is without doubt one of the best political reporters in the city of politics. But she's also a distinguished and refined woman, and I've known her for many years, and I'm just trying to picture what the mayor said. Marianne, have you ever dug your arms into a bucket or a barrel of chum?
Yeah. You know, it's getting tougher. It is getting tougher every day to cover her and not raise your hands up in just frustration and say, wait a minute. There is, you know, so many things yesterday that when she had her news conference, but starting with, if you're referring to there is a recording and video of First Deputy Eric Carter saying, "We don't have time for this shit," referring to the bagpipe procession, the honor that they give a deceased police officer, someone killed in the line of duty at the morgue.
It's a slow and roll. It's supposed to be slow. It's always been done that way, slowly.
Absolutely. And to think that there was anything, what was the hurry? Unfortunately, she was already dead. It wasn't like they were waiting to take her to the ER to help save her life.
No.
And this is an honor that has a tradition, has gone on forever. And if you saw later in the day, it was quite interesting that the medical examiner's office put out a statement saying it wasn't us, because the mayor tried to backpedal. And first she said it wasn't true. Well, there's video and audio of it.
Right.
Then she said that she agreed with him and she stood by him. And it was because of new protocol at the medical examiner's office.
Right.
And the medical examiner later put out a statement saying, no, not so.
Now, you've covered politics for some time, and Jeff has also, and I've dabbled in it. And can I tell you, I wrote in johncastnews.com,
ding,
that it was like watching a rookie, like a stupid rookie being picked off third base with the tying run in the late innings of a ball game. She somehow thought what? That she could like tell a lie and that Tony Preckwinkle's government was going to cover her butt? I mean, what planet is she on?
Well, and first of all, she waited 3 days. Sunday, yes, she was out. And we all know that the news of the weekend doesn't count on Monday. On Monday, the reporters are all back in looking for the same story that may have big story that happened over the weekend.
Right.
So Monday, she's silent. Tuesday, she's silent. Meanwhile, where was she? Why was she not in the neighborhood where this happened to thank the people who held down one of the suspects? That is
right.
Still, yeah. Like, absolutely alarming to me. Thank goodness. You know, when we're constantly hearing no one speaks up, no one snitches, no one does anything, wouldn't you go to that neighborhood and stand on the street corner and say, thank you? We want to tell you thank you for holding down the cop killers.
Yeah.
It's
the unforced errors. I talk about this all the time. I mean, she backs herself into these corners for no reason. And I get it. She wasn't a politician coming into this job, but did she not surround herself with people who could give her the advice to be like, hey, some things you need to do in certain ways to be taken seriously? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Her team really is just not strong. Rahm was prickly. Mayor Daley was prickly.
He was Mayor Chucky. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are jobs for us to be their friends. And but there should be a respect back and forth. And there were difficult, oh, God, I mean, Rahm hated me at times. And all of us, whatever. But he had a decent team. He had a very decent team who knew how to not only, you know, run the city, but run an event and knew, you know, they just got it. And her team is just not strong. I don't know how else to put it. She's lost, 12 to 16 of them in the last year? Top staffers, top commissioners who couldn't take it anymore.
But wait a minute. If you're criticizing her, that means you're a racist. That's what she thinks, you know? Yeah, I'm Marianne, I'm stunned that she hasn't turned it around. I've given up on her. And I think the city is giving up. I've never seen it. You know, it's more than just like the revolving door administration of Jane Byrne, because this is even more, the revolving is even faster. But I get a sense that we've never been in this place before as a city, that the city seems to be not only an anarchic, but unmoored, like a boat you know, you forget to tie it up at the dock and the tide comes up and it just floating with, I don't know where the captain of the love boat is, but I don't think it's Laurie. And I just don't, I think that you feel this throughout the, throughout Chicago.
She tried to talk yesterday about the rebound budget, that the city's on the rebound. Mm-hmm. And there are some signs. I mean, if you go to the West Loop, I was in the West Loop last night meeting my daughter for dinner, and I said, whoa, I hadn't been over West Randolph Street in a while. And I said, yeah, there is a lot going on over here. And so, yes, there are some neighborhoods that are seeing a rebound, some. There are other parts of the city, and I'm not just talking the South and West Side where it has struggled. There are parts of Streeterville, and obviously there are parts of Michigan Avenue with still no stores or boarded up windows. So when she talks about this rebound, I think, you know, part of the rebound is image. You know, it isn't just the federal money being handed out to everyone saying, hey, you know, go rebuild and let's hope it works. It's about people wanting to live here and come visit. And I don't see and hear that.
Well, a guy,
maybe it's just the people I know, but they're still afraid to come into the city.
Oh yeah, I mean, I get it all the time from people on there on radio call in and say that, you know, they, how can you even, you know, take the chance? And that's the part that scares me. It used to be, oh, well, you can avoid it or you can go around, you don't have to go to all the areas. And yeah, there isn't violence and danger in the entire city, but the risk is there everywhere. I mean, it's people getting hurt everywhere unexpectedly.
You could get shot, Jeff, on the expressway coming into the city. I mean, the expressway shootings are up. And just the other day, a guy was arrested shooting a gun in the air at the Red Line on Grand Avenue. And they picked him up right outside of the old Tribune Tower. It's, I can't fathom it.
No,
I just don't.
And Marianne, I was, one of the things we always talk about, how it's you know, with the papers dwindling their staffs, and even on the radio side, we've got fewer and fewer street reporters, if any. What is it that, do you feel as a reporter, as a stalwart in the city hall in politics here? Do you feel like there's a bigger burden on you or the others who, you know, the Bill Camerons of the world? The rest of the crews out there, the Tamon Bradley types, do you guys feel more pressure to try to get to the truth of what's happening in the city?
100%. I mean, I so appreciate John saying some, you know, nice comments at the beginning, but honestly, it's because there's few of us left. So of course people are going to say like, oh my, you know, she's been around forever. Isn't she great? No, I'm not so great, but hey, thank God I'm still have my job. And, but you bet. There are so many stories. We can only do one or two a day. I feel constantly like, oh my God, there's this, there's that. There's so much going on that is not even being reported on because who has the time to do it all? Yes, it's very, very overwhelming of not having the same coverage and the same competition. Although I have to say, I feel as if the print folks have, we have a better relationship maybe than we used to have. I think sometimes, unfortunately, TV reporters are considered, oh, bubble heads are not bright and don't understand at all or whatever.
It's just jealousy because you guys made more money than print guys. And
Some of it was. Yeah. But now I do believe I'm in way better contact with some of the print folks because of COVID and not being in person at all. They would send me the questions because I was often the one there, and that's given us a better relationship. I have the print reporters calling or texting and saying, have you ever covered a mayor quite like this before? You know, that kind of thing. So sure. There is a lot of that, Jeff, that feeling. I think not just me, but others feel the same.
Well, and also, Marianne, it seems that with the papers losing staff and focus, that there isn't the same kind of coverage that broadcast and columnists relied on, like Bond Court every day. I mean, I go for Bond Court info. I go to CWB, you know, to see what's going on. I'm not going to the Trib or the Sun-Times for political stuff, City Hall stuff. I go to you and I read Fran Spielman, but two of, you know, two great women, journalists.
Fran, who cranks out five stories a day sometimes, and I'm amazed at what she, the work she does.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
But I think
these politicians know that they're flying under the radar a lot. And it's not just in the city, but statewide. I think, oh gosh, there's a lot going on that we are not even able to cover because of just not enough people. Yeah.
So the politicians take advantage of it. And where's Lightfoot in all this mix? I see a mayor, you know, I don't think she'll take my advice to put on a Sox bat boy uniform and disappear into the fields of corn in Iowa. But I don't understand where she thinks she's going. And the other night, after the lie about the medical examiner's office was exposed, I was watching Marianne Ahern on television, and you were talking about a fundraiser Lori Lightfoot was going to have.
She had a fundraiser last night.
Yeah.
She had a fundraiser, and I asked her about it, and I said, despite what you've told in the New York Times about not knowing if you're going to run again, oh my, you know, then she scolded me on that. I never said that, And then she proceeded to say, it's not a gimme. Well, that's exactly the same thing as saying, I'm not sure I'm going to run again. She said, I have to be prepared. She's the one that said it's not a gimme. We didn't say it. What politician, what mayor or what governor says 2 years into their term, why would you want to have that perception of a lame duck when you're already on such shaky ground to begin with?
Right.
Her last budget got through with two votes. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, she hasn't made any more friends.
Knives are out, guys. Knives are out.
Yeah.
And John and I always talk about the idea of like the institutional knowledge that, you know, there seems like a lot of progressives want to just bury and, you know, move past. And in her case, they feel like she can't anticipate what's going to come from the things she says or the things she does. And it's that inability, I think, to anticipate that really just buries her in all these, like I said, unforced errors. And I wonder, is there a way for her to, is there somebody out there who would be, hey, a great deputy mayor for her to give her that type of insight? I can't think of anybody, one, who would want the job, or two, who would be good for the job in the city who hasn't already alienated.
Right. I think there had to be people like that for Rahm. I mean, he must have been very difficult to work for as well. Oh. But he claims that there were people that said to him, you can't do that, or that's not a good idea. I don't think she takes that kind of counsel. You know, perhaps it's her partner, her wife, but I don't see sort of this kitchen cabinet, I mean, who she turns to, that say to her, you know, what are you thinking? Why would you go up to the room in the hospital when they've told you not to, so that the father would yell at you in public and people would see that? It's been interesting. I mean,
she's lost.
Yeah. I mean, it started with some little stuff, the kind of falling apart of her, the relationship that I had with her, press team. It was silly. It was the dying of the river green in March.
Right.
And it was also the Loretto Hospital. They lied and said they weren't the Denver Green, and then they did. I mean, it's silly. Mm-hmm. Then the Loretto Hospital, I had gotten, I had questions about, did the mayor have a list? Because people had said the mayor had a list. And they said, no, she didn't have a list. Well, I proceeded to keep asking questions. They were angry. I said, excuse me? Just because you tell me there's not a list doesn't mean we still keep, you know, I don't say, oh, that's a good idea. That mayor says there wasn't a list, so I'm not going to ask anymore. And called me yelling at me that why am I still asking these questions? Would you only fuel the fire more that there probably was, you know, there are people convinced there was a list. I haven't found it yet. We've tried to FOIA. They keep putting it off. I, you know, whether it was a texted list or a phoned in list, I don't know. But
was that for closing? Was that for closing hospitals? What was
no
COVID?
The COVID.
Oh, the COVID.
Yeah, vaccine, you know, yeah,
the COVID line, the VIP line, which of course now is moot. You can go get the shot wherever you want. But at the time, it was a big deal. Yeah. So, I mean, it was over sort of the relationship that I had with her office and her communications team kind of fell apart over silly stuff. And, you know, but it's just, I finally said to them, you know, if you're going to lie to me about dying the River Green, how do I trust you on anything? You know, you don't seem to get that. And frankly, I hardly talk to them much anymore. I mean, I used to have, and I have a way better relationship with the governor's team. Yeah, you can text and say, hey, can you give me an idea what's going on today? Not for reporting, just for planning. I mean, it's a business relationship, you know, give me a heads up. What's on the docket today kind of thing. Not her team. You can't believe them or trust them.
I guarantee.
That's not good.
Yeah, I guarantee there are people at MSNBC who have a very good relationship with her team.
Oh,
she's
for sure.
Always there.
Jeez. And the New York Times.
Yeah.
But isn't that really, that is dumb. I mean, yeah, she's going to go where she won't be asked tough questions and where they'll pump her up and tell her she's wonderful and never challenge her. But that's NBC. It's MSNBC and the New York Times. What I find odd is that she'd do that when a staffer, a reasonable, competent mayor would understand that if you keep undercutting the Chicago Press Corps, payback's a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
And and reporters don't like being intimidated and then embarrassed in front of their bosses when the boss will say, hey, Cass, why didn't you have this interview? MSNBC got it, you know? And that
100%.
It's just so incompetent. Now I have to ask you this, and both of you, given what we know about Lori and Tony Preckwinkle, they don't like each other. Lori, for those of you who missed it, Lori Lightfoot swamped Preckwinkle in every ward in the city during the last mayoral election. But Tony Preckwinkle hasn't forgotten. And Tony Preckwinkle's partner is... or protege is Kim Fox, the notorious catch and release prosecutor, hated by police and most people who want law and order in this county. And here's Lori Lightfoot taking a beating on crime every day. And she occasionally sends out the police, David Brown, to commissioner, superintendent, to go after prosecutors and judges. But that's not the mayor talking. Why has Lori Lightfoot not been smart enough to call out Fox personally and Preckwinkle for supporting it, for basically you know, emptying the jails, doing that low bond and bail thing, electric home monitoring, which her police force knows is a problem. Why doesn't she take them on? Why does she just sit there and take it and get slapped and slapped and slapped with the issues without having any understanding of what the people understand and what she should be doing? Why did she take it?
I think she's had a very difficult time figuring out who she is. because she was the head of the police board and was the head of police reform, and now as the mayor isn't quite sure where she stands on all of that. She's now lost some of that control with this new community input, even though she's going to still, or whoever is the mayor, is going to still get to pick the superintendent. She is trying to have it both ways with the progressives as well as those who are concerned about the crime. It's a dilemma for whomever is in office. But at some point, don't you stake your claim? Don't you say who you are and let the dust settle? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, that's, yeah. I guess it's a pipe dream. But
it is.
But
go ahead. Sorry.
No, please go ahead. You go ahead. I want to hear what you think.
It is such a tough one. It shouldn't be so tough for the mayor to be the law and order, and yet she hasn't been able to do that because of the calls for no bail, and police have been have been unaccountable. And is there not a path for both? She seems to have to be one or the other, and I think there is a path, but she's not been able to find it.
And she came in as, and I think you nailed it. She's trying to be, doesn't know who she is, and she's trying to be everything to everyone, which you can't. I mean, Rahm was everyone to every, you know, checkbook and the police, and not so much the progressives. It just wasn't going to be his battle to take up. And she came in as like this reformer, and she was going to end the corruption, and and be progressive, because lots of progressives came out for her, and she, you know, she has that background, and you're right. She hasn't done enough to define who she is and then lead those things that she could do. And she's getting eaten alive. She's trying to out progressive a progressive sometimes. And you're like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, why not just let them lead and support them, say some nice things about them, you know, listen to them, have meetings with them, but don't be the one who's in front of them, because there's no win there. Who are you trying to impress? I think she is stretched herself into totally too many places. And I think, Marianne, you nailed it. She just doesn't know what her identity is as a mayor.
Well, she knows what her identity is as a candidate. She was a federal prosecutor, which gave her cred, like, okay, maybe she'll be, you know, a federal prosecutor. She'll be tough on crime. And she's also fronted the identity politics of, I'm Black, I'm a lesbian, and I'm a woman. And her problem, I think, is that identity politics is what's her problem. She can't very well call out Preckwinkle for supporting Kim Fox's reelection, because she also supported it. And which is why I broke with her. And if she calls them out, she's worried, I think, that she'll be somehow condemned in some sections of the Black community. And everything for the past, I don't know, 6 months, ever since she became angry with Marianne for reporting that she, the mayor, only wanted to talk to reporters of color about the about her her midterm. I just see her confused. Maybe we're all in agreement. She's confused.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that comes back to her team. That day that happened, when her communications director called me and said, no, we're only talking to Black and brown reporters, I said, you mean like the first day you're going to talk to all of us the next day? No, no. Wait a minute. wait. We can work this out. You know, like, I think I whatever you're up to on your first pass, hey, you know, obviously it's your right to do whatever, but you're not going to talk to us at all? No, we're not. I said, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Yes. I mean, yeah.
That was really not a smart move for someone who's trying to raise taxes from all parts of the city and govern in a diverse city. But that's Lori Lightfoot. And I think she should just go into the cornfield and wait till we select a new mayor. But I don't think that's going to happen. Although, don't you want to see her in a White Sox uniform, like a bad boy uniform, going into the corn, waving like Shoeless Joe?
Oh, my. That's not going to happen either.
Marianne Ahern, one of the best political reporters, and I'm not kidding, Marianne. I've known you for what, 30 years?
No, you guys are great. Yeah, good deal. Well, you know, I started doing all the Catholic Church stuff, so it was a good it was a good way to learn for the pushback.
When you talk to Cardinal Supich, could you tell him waiting 3 days to make a statement about a slain officer? Maybe you should, you know, speed that up. You know, if you want to hurt
that was unfortunate too. I saw that as well. I said, what? Now you're going to say something? Come on. What took 3 days? Yeah.
Thanks, Marianne. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
I so appreciate it. Talk to you again soon, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
For Marianne Ahern, political reporter par excellence at NBC5 Chicago, and for Jeff Carlin, the master of sound, executive producer at WGN Radio, my friend, baker of pies. And for me, John Cass, publisher and I guess one-man band at johncassnews.com.
Ding!
Please subscribe, everyone. We're going to be going to a pay system soon once I end up paying, once I pay off all the lawyers. Chicago is a city of anarchy. It's a city unmoored. I've never seen it like this. And it's kind of concerning and frightening. But you know what road reaches all the way out to those Iowa cornfields where Lori Lightfoot should be? It's the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.